Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father through his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Congregation, please be seated. Yes, that glorious hymn, For All the Saints. I have been to quite a few music concerts in my relatively young life. My favorite genre of concerts to go to would be rock. Linkin Park, I hope to get to Foo Fighters someday, who I think is the greatest rock and roll band post-Nirvana. We can debate that if you have another beloved. But of all the different concerts and even with orchestras and the different musical opportunities I've been to sit and to experience, nothing compares in all of the music that the world can create to what we just expressed in the hymn, For All the Saints. There is a hope wrapped up in the bittersweetness of this hymn. It's a beautiful hymn because, like the remembrance of the saints, it directs us to Jesus, a reminder of the victory over death that Jesus has given to us with all authority, with all certainty, through his death and his resurrection for our sake. When I was younger and a bench warmer playing football in high school, my junior and senior year, there was no greater rock anthem than AC/DC Thunderstruck as you ran onto the field. The reason why I like that, everybody's jerseys were clean, so nobody knew I was a bench warmer yet. So I was like, yeah, I'm part of this team. And also it was before the game, and so nobody knew how bad our team would be, as unfortunately it was. But as much as that would get me fired up to go for the football game and watching from the sidelines, it brings to mind how fleeting the glory of earth is. I can talk about Friday Night Lights and how much I loved it, but it's past. It went way too quick. What does not pass us by, what does not fade, is what God has given in Jesus Christ to all the saints. I'm a young father, and I'm already thinking ahead of how can I make sure that my children, you hear me playing God in my head? How can I make sure my kids are taken care of whenever my earthly days are spent? Hopefully and prayerfully, that's many decades from now, and we've got many family members around. I can be like Jacob, dispensing blessings to many of Christians and my descendants and family members in the future. But that may not be my lot. That may not be how it works out. So instead of finding something that I can give to my children, I take comfort in this hymn that I'm about 99% sure is going to be one of the hymns at my funeral. That will be there to comfort them with the gospel of Jesus Christ when I have no more earthly breath, to remind them how much I love them. They will be left with what is most important, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to carry them through the rest of their earthly days as they look forward to that reunion and the resurrection. It is this authority of God's word, this certainty of the gospel that Jesus dispenses, gives out, opens up the mysteries of heaven with the Sermon on the Mount. In many ways, Jesus is answering all of the prayers of all humanity throughout all the ages that says, God, would you give me a sign? Would you help me understand? Why am I going through this? How could this happen? Lord, where are you? Jesus answers all of those prayers of all of the laments and the cries through all the ages as he goes up on this mountain, like Moses, but much greater than Moses. And he sits down as a rabbi, which if you've been to school, I think we all have. And the teacher takes their place at the podium. You know, all right, it's time to stop goofing off unless we want the wrath of the teacher and extra work. When Jesus sits, that is the signal that he is beginning to teach, and to teach with all authority. And he begins by speaking to his disciples, and eventually he will be speaking to all the crowds in Matthew chapters 5 through 7. Jesus begins. He opens his mouth. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Jesus graciously sits down
in the presence of his beloved creation. We just finished All Hallowed Eve, which many know as Halloween, and All Saints Day, and today we are observing All Saints. Believe it or not, there are a couple of festivals and seasons between now and the birth of Christ, despite the Christmas music that I think I've heard in October. It's really bad Christmas music, in my opinion, too, because it doesn't focus on Jesus, it's everything else. Jesus gives us an opportunity to give thanks in this month of Thanksgiving, and then in that season of Advent, of how God has arrived and come near, taken on human flesh. Jesus sits down. He graciously sits in our presence and opens his mouth and begins to teach his disciples. And by doing so, by addressing his disciples and not all of the crowds who say, hey, this guy speaks with authority. I'm not sure if I believe him, but he speaks with authority that even our own preachers don't preach and teach with. Jesus begins with the disciples to paint this picture to all of man and woman on earth. Come to me and believe. For if you do not come and believe, everything else I'm going to say to you is going to sound like utter rubbish and foolishness to you. Ponder this. How can you convince someone, hey, you are to be merciful and they're not a Christian? Okay, where are you going to go with that? Yes, sir, be merciful. Okay, back off with the law there. But as Christians, going through this doorway of faith that Jesus opens to us, gives us the gift of faith, we know why we're merciful. Because he was first merciful with us. Why do we give grace? Reagan, Naomi, we talked about this last week in confirmation class. The acronym of grace is what? God's riches at Christ's expense. We give people what Jesus desires. Not what we might desire for them when we're grumpy or when we want to get them back for pain that they have caused us. So Jesus starts by opening this doorway to the disciples, to the world, inviting the world to believe in him. First commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. So Jesus, talking about the poor in spirit, verse 3, we can equate this to the spiritually poor. Those who recognize they have nothing to bring to the table. They need help from outside themselves. They need divine intervention. Jesus is replying to his cousin, John the Baptizer, the final prophet. Jesus responds by identifying those who receive his ministry. The lame, the lepers, the deaf, the blind, the dead. Those who have no strength to defeat that which afflicts them, Jesus comes to them and gives them what we celebrated for Reformation, the free gift of the gospel, which is God's righteousness given to us. Final thing on verse 3. Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven is theirs. He's talking about you. The kingdom of God is yours, not to lord over other people, but to find comfort in and to be inspired by and turn back to the world and say, this is what God offers to you through the door, the way, the truth, and the life, the resurrection, the good shepherd, the great I am, Jesus Christ. The reign of heaven in Jesus belongs to those who do not have spiritual ability or strength. I pray we find comfort in that. It is God's free gift. We do not earn it. We do not come to a state where we deserve it by anything we can do or make up to God. It is God's mercy to us. It's a free gift. And so as evangelists, we all are to be evangelists. How do we take this gospel to the world? We forgive what we would believe is unforgivable. We bring the healing that only Jesus' word brings. And you know what heals other people is praying with them. It heals them and assures them that even if our afflictions of this life do not subside, as we read today from St. Paul, right, Reagan, you brought that up in confirmation class with your homework, that even if that thorn in the side remains with us, when we go to be with the Lord, all that afflicts us will finally pass away.
So these gifts from Jesus, we pass on to others. The blessing of forgiveness, the blessing of healing, the blessing of divinely knowing and understanding why Jesus came and what he is saying. Consider the insane wealth that we have living on earth 2,000 years after Jesus. We have 2,000 years of people going, so what was Jesus getting at here? We have the opportunity to do that on a weekly basis as a community of Christ and in our homes in daily devotions. We have the opportunity to see how Jesus opens up the mysteries of heaven to us. Think about all the questions we have and we don't have the answers to. Jesus has given us clear as day that anyone from a young child to someone who is at the end of their life can understand. Jesus died and rose from the dead so that we would know that we will be in the resurrection. We will be made new. Throughout scripture, it talks about how a little child, like we had the little one up here. Can you imagine a little child playing like that? Mom and dad not worrying about it. And there's snakes nearby and lions and tigers and bears. Oh my. And there will be no fear in the resurrection. Children, and maybe adults if you like dogs too. Can you imagine running in a field next to a cheetah and a lion as you would next to your dog? That's a picture of the resurrection we get when Jesus talks about the new heavens and the new earth, all of creation restored. It's epic. This is what gives us hope to cling to while we walk through this valley of the shadow of death. We know what is waiting for us, that both Eleonora and Helen, whose names we read, and all of our names will be read in the future to comfort the future believers of what is in store for us. When I was in college, I had the opportunity to lead the Bible class for our high school youth. Three of those youth were two of my brothers and my sister. And as you can imagine, my sister was a good sport, but my brothers wanted nothing to do with their older brother being their boss in Sunday school class. But one of the great discussions that came out from my brothers and their peers was one of them asked, when we're in eternity, when we're in the resurrection, is it just going to be a church service that is without end? Because then that would be boring. So it opened up a conversation of, what is the glory of the resurrection? Again, confirmation students, I'm picking on you again today. We talked about imagining Monday morning being as glorious as Friday as soon as you got home from school. Monday morning in the resurrection being as glorious as every Christmas morning as a child and as a parent of your whole life, and it's even beyond that. This is what Jesus gives us the privilege of knowing and grasping and sharing with creation around us. Don't worry, I'm not going to go into this much detail the rest of the verses. Verses 3 and 4 just really captivated me of what Jesus preaches with authority, makes clear to us, so there is no doubt of what awaits us in the resurrection. There is a pattern through all of these blessings throughout the rest of our gospel that emphasizes that we as human beings, we receive eschatological blessings. Tongue twister, Scrabble word. It means, hey, creation, remember, it is about the new heavens and the new earth. You are able to forgive others in the name of Jesus because you know you are a pilgrim on earth. This is not your home. But while you are here, be a blessing to the world around you. Jesus continues in verses 5 and 6. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. If we are already made right with God through Jesus Christ's death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead, how can we still be hungering and thirsting for said righteousness? Well, we know. It's that frustrating, now the victory is won, but we're not yet realizing it completely, for there is still death. There is still loss. There will still be prayer requests that cut us to the heart. It truly is as simple as declaring that we are pilgrims here. As C.S. Lewis once said, the fact that our hearts yearn for something earth cannot supply is proof that heaven, the resurrection, must be our home. C.S. Lewis also wisely stated, joy is the serious business of heaven. Kind of sounds like something that some of our ancestors, either from Germany or Norway, would say. Joy is the serious business of heaven. Oh, okay. It is a joyful thing. But Jesus is serious, and I'm not meaning to offend. If I offended you, I'm sorry, but it's true. Joy is the serious business of heaven. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Once more, C.S. Lewis is helpful. If you read history, you will find that Christians who did most for the present world were those who thought the most of the world to come. This Bible passage this week was very comforting to me. Because even pastors, we can get discouraged and say, you know, maybe I need to stop having my head in the clouds and try to be more practical. Stop being so obsessed with the resurrection. And this passage really humbled me to come back again to this first love that we have in Jesus. It is all about the resurrection. This is why we are here. Finally, in this final three verses, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. It is important to remember here that if we're a jerk to people and we get persecuted, it's because you're a jerk. Find ways to be kinder. Learn from your mistakes. When you come way too strong at people, usually it comes out of a place of love, but we can get frustrated. Oh, you don't believe in Jesus. I just want to shake you until you believe. That's not going to be a way to engage people effectively. But listen to what Jesus is saying. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. We're in this valley of the shadow of death. We cannot escape or defeat death, but praise be to God that Jesus Christ has. Praise be to God that we have the blessings of forgiveness and the hope of the resurrection for us to cling to and for us to dispense to others, just wildly sowing that seed of the gospel that others may come to believe as well. May this be what our lives are about as we eagerly look forward to the resurrection for God's glory and for the sake of our neighbors, these young ones we're passing the faith on to, and to those who do not yet believe. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses all understanding keep our hearts and our minds on Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Amen.